Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Jane. I'm loading the lyrics for a song. Bear with me. Just a sec. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? That this child that you delivered would someday deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels tread? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know? Tonight's show is about attitudes and prophecies towards religion. There are people who are bona fide Christians who are trying to preach the word of God, but some people distort it, and then they add other philosophical reasoning to their ministry. There are people who claim to be mainstream Christians and really give no time or no resources to the poor. Then there are people who have changed religions and distorted Christianity to interlope themselves into God's chosen people by a mixture of inflating the Bible and the Gospels or negating one testament versus the other. So I'm going to go into some parallels with that. And if my hosts don't call in by 10:40 p.m., then in 8 minutes, I'm going to have to go remind them. We have one friend, we have four co-hosts regularly on the air. I try to promote my educational political science international relations theory viewpoints through disseminating between which ones have better messages as far as political scientists go. Then we have another person who is a community activist in the NAACP, and oftentimes he will make blatant statements like, you don't know what you're talking about, in the middle of a topic that he doesn't know anything about. Then we have a Christian minister on the show in a music ministry who is good at preaching the gospel, but then he bylines into tabloid Christianity by naming all the people who he thinks is following the devil because they might have flipped a triangle symbolism at their concert, or they might have a pattern in their outfit that, like the goat. The goat used to be a bad thing in the Bible, and now it describes the greatest of all time people. So just from observing celebrities and trying to dial in on what their messaging is, for example, Kobe Bryant and the 666, anything that correlates with satanic symbols in the Bible, he automatically condemns them to hell. Then we have the Trump Republicans who are constantly pointing the finger of what they think are heretics in society and the church, but they have no messaging about love, forgiveness, or helping people while they're in a sinful struggle. Then I'm a mainstream Christian, and I go to a Baptist and a Lutheran church. One of my churches is pro-gay rights, and the other one is anti-gay rights. But in the Baptist church, they have sound doctrine as far as the Bible, how it applies to your life, and how you stay obedient to God. So that's why I like the Baptist church, because it's a simplified message. But in the Lutheran church that I attend, they're trying to be all-embracing of society, like preserving the environment, helping people who are discriminated against as far as their choice of lifestyle, which is gay. And there's my pastor is innocent in a sense, but he's highly educated from Princeton at the Lutheran church. He's not doing anything to ruffle feathers, but he's taking a stand. Like, he'll march in the annual gay pride rites, and he'll do things of that nature. And I'm sure there's other people in our town that don't agree with that forward of a ministry. Then I'm going to have to pause for a second, just a moment. Excuse me. Then I'm friends with somebody in the Twin Cities who joined what other people consider a cult. It's actually elevating black people from an African origin, but not all were born there. And they're trying to associate themselves with the original tribes from the Bible when Noah's mission was to flood the earth, and then he had three sons, and they identify lineage-wise or blood-wise to one of those sons. And then some go so far to discriminate against the modern Christian church, like black believers in the South who are just mainstream Christians. And then they try to refute the lineage of white Jews that came from Europe that were once exiled out of the Philistine area and then were persecuted in Europe and went back to Israel, and they try to refute their credibility. A lot of these people may maintain their own belief system, but when other people feel damaged by their messaging, then it can break up families. And it can cause internal hurt. And it's a form of manipulation. Like, if people are going to join these groups, then join them. But don't try to force other people to join them when that's not their thing. And all this stuff that I'm talking about eventually materializes into a fragmented society, because the Native Americans are still exposing the deeds of white Europeans who damaged their culture 200 years ago. The people who are too preachy on off topics but not really getting the messaging out to what exactly Jesus can do for you. And then we forget about the silent Christians who just live their everyday life. Some are called the C&E people, like Christmas and Easter. They don't take religion that seriously, and they don't learn about their religion. They just kind of float along. And if they do have a major sin that they're trying to confront or problems in their marriage, they pretty much stick to what brings them pleasure. They don't go into the meat and potatoes of spiritual harvesting and what they could do better with themselves in life. So how it translates on a political spectrum is also frustrating, because there's people who just want to believe in the politician. They agree with at least four or five of their policies, but then the other side is condemning them for having the wrong motives and trying to expose all their financial hideousness. And I'll mention that in a second after I leave this room. I will probably have a couple hosts on the line by now. I'm going back to the studio. But what I'm saying is society really can't get along in this direction when people are fighting constantly, trying to prove the other one is condemned to hell, or they're not doing things right, just like Marjorie Taylor Greene said that anyone who's a Democrat is pro-child trafficking because she believes that some elements of the Democratic Party don't protect those kind of children. And that's the kind of thing that's annoying. So with that, I'm going to play a song and get a hold of my host. Okay? I'll be there right away.
We'll be right back.
Thank you, Don, for calling the show. Did you fall asleep? Hello? Okay. Don called the show, and he's not answering. Yay, John. So I'm just going to continue with my story. Don Gallimore, answer me, please. So as I was talking before, there's a lot of varying philosophies and interpretations about life, not only between our radio hosts, but churches. There's a lot of cross-condemnation between people of the same faith, and there's condemnation from the top downs of political leaders to the Islamic religion. There are many Republicans who don't believe there are any peaceful Muslims, that there's not everyday people who just go to church and pray and come back to their homes. I knew somebody's relative up here who thought that all Muslims were ready to strap bombs on their kids and kill for their religion. That's not true. I have mainstream Muslim friends in Los Angeles who don't do that. And what I wanted to say is that some people's behaviors have been irritating me the last few months. Not so much the people on my radio show, because I take their outward right to speak as what they want to say, but they're often off topic and they don't follow the lead. However, some of my friends, because of their change in religious attitude, have become sexist and downgrading women or other races, and I don't like that, because it shows a lack of education and adhering to a higher power that is destructive. The mainstream Christian should always be able to love their neighbor, even if they're caught in sin. Like, if, let's just say it's a drug addict who hasn't healed fully. They should be able to give to others freely without judging or questioning them. And they should be leading to the path of Jesus's, characteristics that embrace the sinner. So with that, I am going to play another song and find the other host, since this one doesn't talk. Thank you. can you hear me?
Yes,
Don.
I can hear you.
Okay, five
Hello.
Minutes ago I was calling your name out and you didn't say anything. Are you falling asleep?
No. I'm cooking, cleaning, and trying to take care of the kids and everybody else. We got all our grandkids are here, so we're more or less taking care of everybody. So that was my problem.
That's understandable, but you called in at least 10 minutes ago the first time, and I said your name several times, and you didn't answer. And for some reason, John's tied up, so it's just you and me. So
okay.
I'm just going to briefly re-describe the intro, and then you can hang up in 15 minutes because I'm only doing a short show.
Okay? Short show.
So tonight's topic was a recap of the main struggles we've had this year between our radio hosts and how their extreme and fragmented viewpoints has not led to productive commonality, and also other people in my circle who have joined other religions that are destructive, and in general how the dynamics of the two-party system of America has become accusatory. In other words, the world is getting more divisive, not more collective. So I'll give you two or three examples, and then you can talk. For one thing, one of my friends joined a group called the Black Hebrew Israelites, where they alienate the cultural white Jews that have been on the, you know, in the forefront of the news for over probably 1,000 years. And then his family became divided and he lost his wife. And then I did critique John, and he knows about it. I called his new brand of Christian witnessing tabloid Christianity, because he's always bringing up celebrities that are either making the goat sign or like some kind of weird triangle thing every time they perform, and he's convinced they're all serving Satan. Some people like Jeffrey Epstein, people do know what their transgressions are, but other people like the Clintons, we don't really know if they drink baby blood or whatever. It's just all speculation. And then we have another host, P, who doubts even that Abraham even existed, but three-quarters of the world follow either Judaism, Christianity, or Islam, and they all recognize Abraham as the father of all those religions. But then we have other people who want to completely delete any correlating history of those three religions in their atheist outlook. Do you have any comment?
Yes, of course. That's one of the things that's all about my thing, which is nature. It's natural to change, for worlds to change, metamorphosize into other things that are current, that are relevant, that relate to life as that time in history is. So you might have
and why
to
do you think people's messaging is so negative these days? Like, why do they want to point the finger at other people and say, you know, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're not a true Christian, Islam's are bad?
Because they're not Christian. That's the whole point. You know, I've told John this one time, I think, that he wasn't Christian. I mean, the evangelical are not Christian. They're just selfish.
He has a Christian music ministry,
right.
And he helps people on the streets. But when it comes to his conspiracy theory, I think it's bad messaging for bad unbelievers.
Yeah, it is, because basically it's non-productive. It's negative, and I've asked him many times with some answers to what he talked about. Some of his conspiracy theories are not completely outlandish. I mean, we had Jade Helm. We had a couple of other things. The Chinese wanting to take over the central banks. We've had a lot of things that are true.
Yeah, like when Ben was on the air, we covered Jade Helm for over 3 episodes, and I even wrote an article about it in the Duluth Reader.
Yeah, so there are some positive things that you're not seeing. You're looking at this from the situation.
Sometimes John and I have off-air conversations, and he'll say stuff to me, as he said on the air, since you're voting Democrat, you're supporting child trafficking.
Correct.
And he says that because he thinks that the Democrats aren't doing a good job regulating that type of crime.
Yeah, well, the Republicans are the ones who are buying the children. So he's got to look at that and know where the money's coming from. This is all about money and power, and Democrats are for the people, you know, and Republicans are for money, and money is power and oppression. So that's, you know, his people in his party.
People who defend Trump left and right, it doesn't matter if he likes him as a politician, but Donald Trump does not personify a Christian. He has every bad behavior in the book. Why don't you talk about your family a minute? Is your son's children there, the baby?
No, the baby's not here, but the his daughters are. And they lived in
it. Do you have other grandkids there, like the ones from Pat's first child?
Well, I've got my daughter's boys. They just finished basketball practice. So they just came
Okay, yeah, you guys have them over a lot. That's not surprising.
That's our mission, is the children. Procreation, like I mentioned last show.
Oh, I did have a comment to you about that. You said that the mission is to procreate, but it's not about eating or sleeping or something else. Now, once you have children, according to the Bible, you're supposed to raise them in biblical terms. And I don't see anything wrong with people who don't have children who pick a career that will enhance their brain and society. Like, not everybody can have children. Not everybody's married. Not everyone picks good partners. There's also drug users that procreate. So I think in this advanced society, you can procreate and have children, but a lot of people don't because they have reservations about the world right now, like food distribution, climate change, expensiveness to make and maintain children, and not everybody has that advantage to be able to raise and afford children.
Correct, and some people want to buy cars or race horses or fly planes and say, screw the children. Children are, you know, not worth
their
time.
Well, then I feel like I'm kind of jinxed.
You
didn't have to throw fuck horses in there. No one's going to get that. There are people that go over, they go after their own pleasures is what you're trying to say.
Exactly. And they say,
now, I was
going to
tell you, how about someone like me? That I had a daughter and she died at nearly age 2, and now I have a son that's autistic and won't talk to me that often. And then, what am I, a condemned mother?
No, well, I mean, you're not condemned. You're a mother. That's all. You know, mothers, families go through everything. I remember, what's that famous author's? She just died.
What was her theme?
Well, she talked about philosophy, how people should live. Not Joyce Meyer.
I know who Joyce Meyer is, and I like her.
Yeah, Joyce
Meyer. It's okay. You don't have to think of the name.
Anyway, Yeah, well, anyways, one of the things that she said that stuck with me is that oftentimes you don't get along with – people don't get along with everybody, including their family members. People who hate them the most or they may hate the most are their family members. That's what's that's what's happening. I mean, she tells it straight up. She's got 100.
Well, I remember when I was growing up, my dad drank from age 18 to 74, and his alcoholism caused me to hate him at a couple points in my life. Even though he was a subdued person, he wasn't, like, loud or boastful. But then I was thinking Lauren really wanted to be connected to his dad, but while I was growing up, I only liked one parent primarily.
Okay, well, then you were a problem. It wasn't Lauren.
I respected him because he worked and supported our family, but he was the kind of person who felt sorry for himself.
Right. That doesn't mean you had to like him. And there was a situation that there's a possibility you had a disdain for men that might have rolled over to your son. I'm not saying that.
Between the ages of 25, I was reckless with men. But our family, the women were strong. And I was trying to tell Lauren in a letter once that having a two-parent home is not always the greatest because I resented one parent my whole life. And Lauren's grandma once said that her son, my son's dad, was a strict kind of parent anyway, and I don't know if Lauren would have liked that.
That doesn't matter. You didn't know. I mean,
well, he did talk to him on the phone several times, and we talked to him a lot the last 10 years. I mean, when Lauren was from like age 9 to 21, he talked to his dad. He just never got to meet him.
Yeah,
say what?
Well, I mean, that can leave a hole in someone's heart. That can leave a hole.
I know, and I feel sorry for him. I was just playing out scenarios that sometimes people have parents or adults in their life, and then the child ends up resenting them. They don't connect or bond.
Correct. And anything happens, so you got to kind of let it go. People have to let it go. They have to understand what that
I did let it go in the last 2 weeks.
I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying people have to let it go because it'll play out. How come you put my – it'll play out however they want. I mean, however it is.
Okay, Don, you're busy tonight, and I am glad I did it on a night you didn't work, but I'm going to end the show now. You can hang up because I feel like I'm invading your family night.
You're not. That's a good point Pat just made. Every night, every minute is family night. You know how we go behind these kids. We're running behind them. We have our van. We have a mini
basketball games. You guys have community meetings every night. I saw you were at a banquet last weekend.
Yep. We had two banquets last weekend. And so
you guys are on the go all the time. And you're older than me. I've had a lot of stamina over the years, but I don't know if I could do it now.
Well, we also own a dance fitness and nutrition business. So our business is keeping people healthy. Keep people healthy. If I were to have you under my wing or whatever, you'd be a freaking in-shape bitch. You'd be all that and a bag of chips. You used to be a
I'm working on my health now because it's gotten worse. And some days I go to work and I don't have a lot of stamina.
Well, you used to be a cross-country runner. You used to be a very good athlete. You know,
tell me about it.
Yeah, well, you're not.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. I had a baby when I was 30, and then she died. I couldn't run for a few years because the epidural damaged my back. Then I was kind of floundering around society for 5 years till I had Lauren. Then I was a single parent making all the decisions for 20 years. And I was a workaholic, so I never allowed myself time to work out. But, like, when I worked at FedEx and I stood and moved around every night, that was good. But not all my jobs were physical like that. And life got in the way of Jane.
And you know what? That's one thing, one way you can look at it. But in essence, your running or a person's exercise when they're an athlete should be a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle.
You it's a lifelong commitment.
Right. All you have
I have
do
friends
wake up
in
early.
Minnesota that still do triathlons at age 75.
Yep. And that's where they're going to be. That's the Midwestern mentality. We know it has to be a lifestyle. We know that we have to shovel snow for the rest of our lives. We have to, you know, dig ditches and make sure our plants are healthy, are deep enough in the soil. We've got all kinds of things that Midwesterners do. We have to do because that's the way that we prefer to live to survive. The rest of the country, you know, they're looking at the internet, making things easy so they don't even have to pee. And, you know, you've got a robot that takes your penis out and puts it in a jar and then throws it out and sanitizes it and brings it back to you. You know,
what
that's
the heck?
You have
to understand, Don, imagine yourself if you were divorced and you had a kid to raise by yourself.
Right.
You have to organize a daycare so you can go to work. At night, you don't have free time. I didn't have time for many years to exercise, except for when Lauren got into grade school, I walked around Northridge campus a lot because I was in college. But so I'm not going to make excuses for myself. And I got diabetes at age 46.
I am not accusing you of anything. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people because it's a chronic situation. The Army, the military can't even take recruits, okay?
Is there heavy?
Yes. Nobody's in shape. That's ridiculous. That's un-American. And all these people are running around saying they're Americans, they're whales that can't even move, need the police to help them because if they had to strike somebody, fight back, they couldn't do it. These people are sick puppies and they need you to help them stay alive and keep cognizant of what's going on. They need a person who's in the media, who's teaching kids. You're with kids every fucking day. You should be teaching them something about how to live a responsible life. You can't say God-fearing at your job, at your particular job, but you should at least teach your kid that you're in charge of how to be responsible human beings. That's your fucking job, Jane. And if you're not doing it, you're not doing your job. It's really easy.
I run a radio show. I have two jobs. I'm a teacher and a counselor. I'm doing my job, Don. Talk to some other couch potato in the same neighborhood.
Okay. I'm just saying.
And then you just got done saying you weren't talking about me. This is what I was talking about regarding our show. Everybody has a different mantra. They all have this huge philosophy that they want other people to adapt, and it might not be suitable for their lifestyle.
Right. Mm. And that's what I always say. I'm always open-minded. I see both sides. You know, like I said, I see Trump's side. I see the things that could be done if we destroy the Constitution, tear up all the police forces, and make this slave state back in the 1850s. Yeah, we'll learn things.
We have a guest caller, and I think it might be John on his friend's phone. So I'm going to pull this person in. One moment. This is Jane of Political Gravity. Who am I speaking with?
Yes, my name is Janiki, and I am calling in for the power of all mixed black and white people on the planet.
That's great, Janiki or Janiki.
Yes.
Have you taken your meds today?
No, I need more meds. I want.
And why are you calling from? Why are you calling from AB's phone?
This is my backup phone. I'm supposed to convert it to the 310-463-3750 number, but the SIM card, you know, I have to buy another SIM card for a dollar, and I've been so busy, I just haven't done it yet.
And who's the service, AT&T, Verizon?
It's AT&T, and then they won't switch it to Verizon. And because the SIM card didn't match. And I've bought three different phones, like kind of these phone wholesalers, where you get them for 30 or 40 bucks. And the first one came, it wasn't scanned from the factory. They said, well, can you scan it? They said, no, you have to have them scan it. Well, that's not going to happen. The next one they sent without a SIM card, which is useless. And then I thought, you know, I'll just order it online from Walmart, you know, because it's a national chain, they're going to send me a good phone. And they sent me one without a SIM card, which is totally useless.
Oh, my God.
I know. So finally, I got so frustrated.
You can keep the 424. Benjamin has a 424 prefix.
Well, except for, like, AOL, my YouTube channel, all that stuff, you try to edit and says, well, we need to verify who you are. We will send you a verification number to the 3750 number. Well, except that phone is dead and lost, so I can't verify my account. Then I get locked
out. You lost
out.
Your phone? 463-37-something-0?
A month ago, Jane. I got to get you up with the current news. Did you know that
Joe
Biden's
the president? I didn't know
you
lost that phone. I just texted you tonight on that phone.
Did you know Hunter Biden showed up today at the Washington, D.C., because they had a subpoena for him to testify, right? And he didn't want to testify because, as you know, if he lies, he's going to federal prison. So he said he stands outside in front of the White House and says, I'm here to talk. You know, where's Hunter? I'm right here. You know, let's talk right now. And they're like, well, why don't you go inside and put it on the record? And he's like, oh, they're just trying to humiliate me and distort my words.
Why did you go from your phone debacle into Hunter Biden in 4 seconds flat?
Because I was trying to get you up to the current news today that's happening, because, as you know, every news, if you turn on the news, turn on Jimmy Kimmel, turn on Jimmy Fallon, and guess what they're still talking about today? Or CNN, because I'm at a hotel. I turn on CNN and every moment. Donald Trump, the end of democracy. We must stop him. I can't imagine what this world will be like. This is the world we live in, Jane. It's like the Kool-Aid is so strong.
Okay, I keep you abreast in our little orbit? Don was just telling me his worldview about exercise and fitness. Then he said it wasn't about me, and then he lambasted me for not being a top athlete anymore. And then earlier in the show, we talked about how everybody's worldview is not so much distorted, but not serving to the general public, like it alienates people instead of brings them together. And then I had a mishap at the beginning of the show because Don was on the air but not speaking. Then he had a ton of relatives at his house. So I was going to let him hang up by 11:15. So now you can talk. I'm not mad at anybody, and I'm not against anybody, but I think both CNN and Fox keep promoting their point of view instead of just staying neutral in general, like NPR.
True. The only difference is that the CNN view is on ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, all the major celebrities, all the major talk show comedians, they're all anti-Trump. But I won't even speak on that. We'll leave that alone because we already know my views on that. I was watching a lot of the American History Channel, and I was researching several things and some very interesting things, you know, that I knew but I had forgotten. You know, watching a lot of World War II with Hitler, and they had what he brought into the society was strength through joy, they called it. But so he wanted his society to be strong, fit, to have art, to have theater, to have entertainment, to be healthy, to have natural foods, you know, eat vegetables. He became a vegetarian later on. And the strength through joy, the joy was a different kind of joy. It wasn't just you being happy. It was the collective joy that you were helping the state and you were part of the collective, and that was real joy. And so you would go, say, he would offer like luxury cruises. You'd go on luxury cruises and, you know, there'd be dance and art and, you know, theater and all this stuff, but you also had as many Nazi classes, indoctrination, that you had to attend.
The thing about Adolf Hitler is he's like Saddam Hussein. He didn't start out bad, and he also was in prison for his beliefs because they were unpopular at one point. But the Germans is the first country in 1891 who started the social safety net of welfare. And many
right.
German leaders throughout 1890 to 1945 they thought about the best thing for their citizens, like, do they have good health care? Do they have a good food supply? Do they have affordable housing? So the thing that took Hitler off the radar is that he started blending his philosophy with a perfect society, and then he cherry-picked what kind of citizens would be suitable for a suitable society.
Well, we're seeing, though, the same things happen today. We want free health care for everyone. We want entertainment and the arts for everyone. Every kid should, you know, have an art and should be creative. And you look at the other things he brought. He brought the Autobahn, like, to unite all of Europe so they could travel. And later on, so they could travel the troops through to the countryside, you know, quickly. Volkswagen, Volks was like folks. It's like for the people, the people's wagon. So everyone needed to have a car. He wanted, you know, so that's Volkswagen was created. He wanted everyone to have their own private plane so they could fly and transport.
I used to have a Volkswagen, old Beetlebug.
Well, what he incorporated was like, oh, we're at war, so we can't really everyone can't have a car now because we all need to donate and sacrifice for the good estate, you know, the joy through strength through joy. So they never got to it. It was when the British, after the war was over, they saw these empty factories and they said, hey, let's start turning out these Volkswagens. And then that's when it became a popular thing. But the person who finalized the design and made it work was Porsche. The guy who started Porsche. So basically, when you see a Porsche or you see a Volkswagen, it's the Hitler mobile, basically. And national socialism, that's Hitler. And, you know, national health care. He was very enthralled.
You're
with,
talking to a card-carrying socialist.
Yes, you're talking to a little Nazi. Because he also had the Bright School, the SS Bright School. So women would learn loyalty, breeding, because your Don's into that, right? They got to breed. Not work, but be happy with the joy of family. And if they would get certain ribbons, like different colors, you know, red, blue, and gold. And, like, if you had four kids, that was one level. If you had six, that was other level. And, the gold was, like, eight children. If you could pump out some little blonde-haired, blue-eyed Nazis, you were, you know,
that kind
of
sounds
woman.
Like the reverse of China. Like, China tried to control their people in a different way, like not having kids, but the Germans used having babies as an incentive.
Well, an interesting thing is they wanted to pick a poster child that was the perfect child that every German should have. And they went through thousands, about 10,000 kids, and he finally found one girl that was perfect. And they photographed her and put her on posters and everything. Her name was Hesse Taff. But they didn't realize she's a Jew.
Are you kidding me? What was her name? Hesse Taff?
Hesse, like H-E-S-S-Y.
Hesse, oh, cool.
Taff. And she was a Jew.
So,
she was the perfect child. But they didn't know
so
it until
why don't
later.
You say hi to Don quick, since you haven't so
no.
far?
Hey,
hi, Donald.
John. No. He came on supporting black people, so I'm all for him today. Plus,
well, you know, it's an interesting
spot.
You know who the perfect Jewish, the perfect German woman was? Nicole Brown
no.
Simpson. She had all the beautiful features of a German.
And she did the right thing by hooking up with a black guy. Because the German women
love black
guys.
And she got rewarded
for it. Yeah. But you exemplify just how stupid white people are. You know, they go they don't have a plan. They didn't have a plan for Hesse. They just said, "That is a perfect girl." She happens to be Jewish. So
well, they had a problem because they wanted to use Slavs and blacks and Jews for slave labor or kill them. And then, you know, of course, the Olympics came along, 36 Olympics, and Jesse Owens, they built this great, you know, a theater, Coliseum. And, you know, Jesse Owens and a few others, you know, kicked the butt. It's interesting, though, the Germans did win the most awards of the thing. They won, I think, 36, and Americans won, like, I don't know, 20-something. So they proved their, you know, the Aryan superiority, but as far as the individual sports, the running and some of the other stuff, they were embarrassed, you know, that a black man could destroy them. They were very upset about that.
Yeah, the East Germans, when Germany was divided, the East German women always did excellent, but then they found out later some of them were doping.
I would say all of them were.
I was at the 84 Olympics in Los Angeles. And the 800 meters.
I didn't move there till 87.
Mm-hmm. The 800 meters woman was built bigger than she was built bigger than Ray Lewis, and she kicked everybody's butt.
Was she German?
She kicked everybody's butt.
What race was she?
I'm trying to think. Russian.
I mean, was
she
black or white?
Oh, come on.
You see, I forgot, Don, at the beginning of the show when I was naming everybody's shortcomings, I forgot what your shortcoming was, that you judge race by superiority versus inferiority.
Oh, well, what else is there? I don't know. I don't know what else.
So is Lauren the perfect child
white...
because he has black jeans and white jeans?
You know that the physiologists always say that the superhuman is a race mixed human. So, yes.
Well, that would include Patrick Mahomes.
That would include anybody of a mixed race. They are the superhuman.
I'm super sick of seeing promotions for Travis Kelce, Taylor's boyfriend, because he looks like a lumberjack. He's not cute. He looks like the lumberjack guy in the Rudolph cartoon, the one who would carry a pick with him. And he's not fine, and I'm tired of looking at his mug on Facebook.
Because you're privileged.
You're damn straight. He's not a. He's okay. He's not gorgeous, but I'm just saying, just because Taylor Swift's dating him, they have these brand new Kansas City groups that promote him and Mahomes at the same time, And I like Mahomes. I don't care about Travis Kelce, who almost got kicked out of college for doing drugs. Anyways,
well,
I don't care about that either. I'm just bringing up an example.
Yeah, well.
No, I think what makes a human perfect is they take their talents and their drive and they do the best they can. And 95% of society does not live up to their drive.
What
okay,
made,
John, go ahead
God
with
made,
your other. I'd rather
God
talk about history.
Sin. God made us with
what?
Sin. So we're not perfect. You said the perfect. There is no such thing as perfect, Jane.
I'm saying that some people get close to achieving perfection if they stick with their talent, like Simone Biles.
Simone Biles?
Yeah, she's unbeatable. Nobody can do what she does.
But she's crazy as hell.
No, she's not.
I think Nadia Comaneci is the standard.
I like Nadia Comaneci's style better than Simone Biles, but as far as physical mechanics, Biles can't, no one can compete with Biles.
Well, as far as athleticism, but there's also athleticism versus performance and artistry. In other words, I may be able to jump 10 feet tall, or, you know, but maybe I can't shoot a jump shot from 36, you know, from 20 feet. So I may be the most athletic guy on the team, but, you know, Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant may, you know, beat the crap out of me because of technical perfection.
Well, our basic theme in this discussion is, can you build a perfect human, and should government be involved in assessing what kind of human is perfect? Now,
you know my answer,
obviously,
no.
Adolf Hitler went too far because he took his intelligence mixed with his ideas and he jaded the human race. He also enjoyed killing people.
Well, last week, I think Pianki was mentioning with the negative birth rate for Jews that in 20 or 30 years or more, they would be gone. But I think that's what the Pharaoh said in Egypt and Herod, and I think that's what Hitler thought. And I don't think they're ever going away. I think they're God's people. Does our group actually believe that Jews will disappear in 100 years or 50 years?
John and I talked about that. No, I don't think. I don't think Spanish, black, whatever. No race is going to disappear completely. It's not like they're that one bird that became extinct.
Yeah, they went extinct.
The bobo
bird.
I can't think of his name right now.
Yeah,
but anyways, the dodo bird. They went extinct. There will be mass dying in this world from things like famine, earthquakes, tsunamis. But I don't think every single, you know, like there's Latinos, whites, blacks, Asians, and probably some other thing, Alaskan Eskimos
think,
or whatever. None of those people are going to die out completely.
Is Jane Hoffman's seed going to die off?
I feel like in the last 5 years, I've had kind of a doom and gloom outlook. Like, I overdid it with working, and then I had problems with my son, so I'm kind of ready to go to heaven like today.
Stop saying that. That's stupid. Young
Why?
Ass kid. Why don't you stop?
A lot of Christians live for the next world. They don't live for this one.
But you have to live through this one to get to the next one. If you commit to
I don't have the energy to find a new husband. I'm in debt with the IRS up to my ears, but now I'm joining a Fresh Start program. I feel like the strength of my body is not strong enough to do two jobs for another year. I'm isolated in a northern town, and I only have 3 relatives, and I feel like I'm dying.
Tell me, answer this question, Don. If they offered you to offer your sperm for like 100 blonde white women to breed, would he donate it?
Of course.
Of course.
You know, my friend who joined the Black Hebrew Israelites, he claims that he can have more than one wife. And you know what? Well, I'm just saying, like, that's so off base for anybody, because you only have one wife you can serve, and the wife serves you. You can't – multiple marriage is just it's a like an ego booster that some men have in their fantasy arsenal.
Moses and Abraham did it.
How about Solomon?
They have one. Mm-hmm.
Solomon had 1,000 wives.
They had the one wife, though. And then the other ones were just hoes.
Well, you know what? Some of these... Let me just tell you one thing. I'm not going to talk much after this. I've already accomplished 95% what I wanted to accomplish on Earth. I just have one or two chapters left in my novel. And then my legacy is over. If I don't have to produce more books. I don't have to, I don't even have to mend my relationship with my son if I don't want to. I can try, but I don't know if it'll work. But the main thing is that people get to a certain point in life where they feel like they've accepted themselves and they validate themselves, and whatever else they do in the world, it's not trying to prove something. It's just being at peace with yourself.
And that's where they're wrong. That's where they're not doing God's work. That's why I ripped you out, new asshole, like you just said I did. I didn't vilify you. I just was mentioning that if you're in a place where you have a chance to influence, especially young people, anybody would do that.
I work in a school, and I work at a job that have troubled youth. They either are not in touch with their parents, or they have a mental health issue that won't allow them to function in an everyday school. So they're in our treatment center for a year. But I do a lot of good work, so from a selfish point of view, I shouldn't really want to die till I physically can't do it anymore for God's ministry. But what I'm saying is that some people have had a lot of struggles in life, and they just end up giving up.
Everybody's living a dream. Everybody's living the way they want to. John's living the way he wants to.
On the other hand, I was going to say John has chosen to stay homeless in a van because some Christians such as myself and him believe that sacrifice is the way to go and living a minimalist lifestyle. So that's good and bad, but sometimes it can be harmful if you're not doing the best for yourself to stay healthy. But John eats good food, and I do too for the most part now, but I used to not. So I don't know. I just don't know if I want to ponder this too much farther.
You're the one who brought it up.
No, you did with the fitness program.
How many kids do you have, Don?
How many what?
How many kids and grandchildren do you have?
Five kids and 9 grandkids that I know of.
You're a nation of Don.
Right. Well, that's very true. I've had that video.
You have
like a little commune.
You have 3 kids with Pat. And one daughter in the wilderness, and who's the 5th one? Oh, Pat's oldest son?
Right, right.
Okay.
Whom I helped raise. These are all people that have...
Well, not everybody's the same, Don. I have 3 friends in Hollywood that never had kids.
Yeah, but there's something called foster parenting. There's something called adoption. There's something called being able to be a mentor, which you are to all these kids. You see hundreds of kids a year. You've got to make some kind of influence on them.
I kind of want to do foster parenting now, but they would have to give me a stipend every month, and I'd have to quit one of my jobs.
Yeah. What if I mentor dogs?
You'd be getting money.
What if I does walking dogs count or mentoring dogs count?
Sure, but you can't have dogs biting you, and you can't have the owners demeaning you. You walk these motherfucking dogs, and these people need to be shot. They need to be killed because they're such assholes for a dog.
I'm living large this weekend. I'm in a hotel, Manhattan Beach. Me and the hound were like walking around,
The hound is
white, so we got white privilege going on here.
Yeah, white privilege is going down Newport Beach. That you can't beat that.
It's a revolution.
People are obsessed. They're obsessed with their animals nowadays. My twin sister spent $8,000 on her dog.
Oh,
white people are stupid.
Well, doesn't France own half of Africa?
What?
No, but there's a lot of Africans in France.
Doesn't France?
Didn't you hear Pianki last week?
Africa?
He said that France is still charging African nations 65% of their wealth. Did you hear when he said that?
Yeah, but
it sounds like the revolution has happened.
You have to understand. Yeah, I have to understand the context. Is it 65% of taxes, or is it a immigration fee?
I'm not really sure because I think the only country France has any control left on is Morocco.
Right.
Yeah, but financially, with the lithium and all the mining and the gas and all that stuff, I think France, they've worked it out where they get all the percentages.
Yeah, like even the Germans one time controlled two African colonies. They let that go in the 50s. British has very little control over Africa, but I think they still have. The Dutch founded South Africa, but I'm going to look up what countries France still controls in France.
The Dutch founded South Africa. What a dumb... Damn it!
What? You're losing your cookies, Gallimore.
The Dutch did not found Africa. South Africa.
South Africa.
South Africa was South Africa.
No, I'm saying the Dutch settled South Africa, not the French.
You said founders. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, sorry. I'm looking it up with one finger.
There are a lot of people that don't understand. Things change. Life changes. The only thing that's sure in life is change. Things are changing. They're not the same.
Quick half white.
They'll never be the same.
France controlled Mauritania, Senegal, the French Sudan, now Mali, French Guinea, now Guinea, Ivory Coast, Upper Volta, which is now Burkina Faso, Dahomey, which is now Benin, and Niger. Now, Pianki said they're still stripping them of 65% of their finances.
Right.
That's because
Africa has France in their pants.
What?
Africa has
France in
its pants.
France
in its pants.
Yes.
They've got everybody in their pants. The Belgians are still there.
Jesus Christ.
People from the
How France
from
continues
the
to dominate former colonies. I'll save that topic for next week because I don't have time to research it.
Nothing comes through. I think I have to go downstairs.
But it's
okay,
now
you guys,
the Chinese are coming in.
I've been on the air an hour and 15 minutes, and I'm getting tired, so could you guys close the show for Janessa?
I joined the show for 20 minutes, and I bring you Hitler and white man oppressing Africa.
I actually liked when you brought up history, because I don't want to talk about current history. It's too stressful.
And that's the problem with some of what you're doing with our with the show, is that you don't want to hear the reality of what history has brought about.
What I don't want to hear the extremes.
Well, you know what's happened? What's extreme is that we're sending our kids out to kill people all around the world, and then we don't take care of ourselves, and we're letting all these immigrants come in from Norway. We're letting all these people shoot each other up with unlimited guns. We're giving up. We're letting countries fill us full of fucking drugs.
This guy from Texas who was Central American
and, our people,
and not...
Our kids are dying. Our kids are fucking dying, just like...
No shit.
Go ahead.
Did you
know
one child dies every 11 minutes from fentanyl overdose?
But I'm talking about our army people, our military. They're going to fight. And what are they fighting for? They're coming back to nothing.
Yes, but
they're coming back to
the black
same,
women. They're lining up at the abortion clinic tomorrow, right?
And you have
they
doing. You're doing
they
nothing.
Want genocide
John
himself.
Is doing nothing.
You can't keep them away from the abortion clinics, right? Obama and Michelle. We need these rights, and Biden, right? Let's execute more black babies, right? They want this. No one's forcing.
Are you talking
to
us, John? Your voice is kind of muffled.
Because I don't want to talk real loud and have all the neighbors here protest me tomorrow morning.
Oh, by the way, I found an article. I'm just going to mention one thing. France still has inroads to African colonies because they kept their currency as the franc. And I'm going to read one paragraph, okay? The CFA franc, I don't know what CFA means, is colonialism repackaged. The franc of the French colonies in Africa, called the FCFA during colonial times, became with independence the franc of the financial community of Africa. And in West Africa, the franc of financial, I'm just going to call it FCFA. The French government is a specialist at reframing colonial structures using new names. This is the real story of France's relationship with Africa. So that's why they still have control over some of their finances, because the ownership of the actual coin or designated coin is still has leverage with the French government.
So how much money do they get off of? What percentage? Like 10%?
Well, I don't. Let's see. 50% in this one paragraph, but I'm not. 50%. I don't feel like I'm educated enough to explain until I read the whole article.
So, man,
but I'll ask
Bianchi
because he knows about it.
If you're going to Canada, Europe, you're paying more for the dollar. It's just like that, only you're paying 50%. Which is a rate.
Imagine if Don was working,
but us
and he got
Africans,
50% of his money.
We don't mind because we're going to come back and we're going to kick everybody's ass and then sit them down in the corner and tell them to shut the fuck up while we're taking care of business. That's how it's going to work.
Are they going
Don, did you have wine with your dinner?
You know I don't drink.
I know, but you seem a little... You're a little edgy tonight.
Nope, I'm not edgy. You guys, I'm saying the same motherfucking thing every week. That you guys don't...
Right, but Don, you say this is going to happen. Are they going to bury you before they do this?
I beg pardon?
Are they going to bury you before the brothers rise up and get their money back? I mean, you've been talking
this
for a while. You're getting up there.
This is going to be 100. this is going to be 100 years from now.
Oh, 100 years. Okay.
Okay, how many times have I said this? The doggone census is saying that 5.6% population growth in America is black. 5.2 is Mexican. 4.6 is Asian. Minus 5.4, there are going to be no more white people. Get it in your fucking brain, people.
Well,
white people will not exist.
You know, a couple of nuclear bombs can wipe out a billion people in a second.
That's another far-fetched philosophy, Don. You can't wipe out every white person on the planet.
They're dying. It's not wiping them out. We worship you. We wish you well.
Just put a virus in the hood.
But y'all can't fuck no more. Y'all can't fuck. You don't know how to fuck.
It doesn't
matter. Okay, I'm muting you, Don. Sex is one of the. If you're a believer, sex isn't even important.
Well,
now, Don, you're
going to
get a 60-second. You have a 60-second timeout for talking naughty.
Okay, but I want him to come back. But the point I was getting at is that, you know, numbers sound great. Like, you know, you got a billion people coming your way, right? China or Africa or India. You drop a couple of nukes. And that goes bye-bye. You send a virus bioplague, and it wipes out like the Black Plague. It wipes out half your population and all that. Those people, it's a liability. It's like you got to feed them. You got to give them water. You get all, like, if AI replaces them, how do they survive?
I understand
what you're saying.
Don, you have 15 seconds left.
It may sound like, oh, we got to edge the population, but that changes. You know, it's like – It can change overnight dramatically. You know, same thing with the U.S. They could nuke us, and it's very possible with China and Russia and North Korea. It's very possible.
Don, you're back on the air. I do want to say when I was talking earlier about distorted philosophies, Don, not everybody's married. Not everybody has sex.
John's the devil.
And not everybody wants to have sex or babies.
You're the devil, John. It's real simple.
I love the black man.
But
you know,
nuking.
Don,
you're
you can't
it.
Say stuff like that.
You're nuking
that white
it.
Men
John
can't blank.
Don,
oh
you know how much
God.
I've done for black people? I've had 7 renters that were black that I didn't evict. I've taken care of black. You know what I did? You would love this one. 2 days ago, Devon Brooks, who owed me $26,000, including a studio, car, all this stuff when he came to L.A., and he screwed around and he messed up. Anyway, I've been friendly with him, and he calls me up, guess what, like 2 days ago. His RV is in impound, and he had till like 5 o'clock.
Well, I hope you didn't give him the money, John.
Me
well, here's
too.
What I did, because I want to be fair. So he goes, I need $300 to get this out. I can sell it for $4,000. I go, okay, but you need $300 to get it out. I wonder where this is going. I said, I'll tell you what. I'll give you the first $100. You find 2 other people for $100, you know, and we'll rock and roll it. So he does, and we hook it up, and he gets it out of impound. He had $3,000 of impound on it because they kind of they towed it because they said it was oversized. But for an RV, but the thing is, there were no signs that said it. So he kind of made like a racial issue, like, you know, he's just discriminating against me, you know, in a poor neighborhood, which means I'm a majority, you're going to be, you know, minority. So you're just ganging up on me. They waived the $3,000 in from a tow yard, which is impossible. You know, they never
right,
negotiate.
They never do that.
They always say, you know, listen, we got your car, you bring the money or we sell it, you know, we scrap it, whatever. He talked him out of it. So he got – I gave him the, you know, 100. I zelled it or whatever to one of his friends who got it to him. So he got it out. He said, oh, you know, brother, you know, a couple weeks or so, you know, I'm going to sell this, make the money and pay you back, blah, blah, blah. You know, and we'll see. The point is I'm always helping the black man. Same thing with Mikael, a black brother who's on the streets preaching the gospel. And I said, hey, let's come get together. You can hang out here at the hotel, you know, for a day or two. We'll go see the movie The Shift that you've seen, Jane. You should talk about it next show. And it's like, and blah, blah, did all this talking. And I said, just call me, you know, because he's a little out of the trick my schedule. And I call. And he's like, oh, I'm busy. It's like, you know what? I'm doing more to help the black man than the black man helps himself.
Correct.
By the way, John, when that other guy...
That's the problem.
I knew the guy who moved in with you and he lived there several months. You should have taken him to court if he owed you over $26,000.
Oh, my God. John is stupid as fuck. But anyway, the bottom line...
I'm trying to help your people, brother.
John, you've heard the parable. You can take...
John, you've made mistakes, too. Don't...
To make them eat, but you have to teach.
Well, he got his RV out of
the impound. Damn! But that's in you're helping, you're enabling.
You should not enable people who owe you money.
And now I'm going to see Lolo over Christmas. I'm going to see the half black boy.
And he's going to tell you to go fuck yourself.
He's probably going to like grab a grenade, run up and hug me.
Are you talking to me? Are you talking about my son?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget he's half white too, and he talks like a white boy.
He'll probably like take down. He'll have like a manifesto. He'll hand us, and then he'll take out half of Fort Irwin.
See, and don't be saying shit like that because that might happen.
You're a trap.
It's possible. Well, I will jump on him first, so that way at least I go first. I'll save James.
One of our chaplains at Fort Irwin retired today, and I'm sad.
Oh.
But he wasn't my main chaplain.
So has Lolo said anything to you like for the last 6 months?
Yes, he left me a voicemail October 27th, which was a friendlier one. He said, I'm not coming home at Thanksgiving or Christmas. Have a good day. I don't have any issues right now. Bye. Then he left me another voicemail a week and a half ago saying, I do not want to see you at Christmas. You're not a valuable part of my time.
And we're planning to go there together to see him?
I'm going with you because you're my security blanket. We're going to see the chaplain, not Lauren.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And I'm proving it to myself that I'm an American that fathered a child that the Army owns, and I have every right to go on that base.
Can we adopt the chaplain?
No, but I used to have friends on the base that were going to house me. They were going to house me there a few months, but then you told me I shouldn't invade his space by living on the base.
Hey, maybe I can live on the base. Free housing.
They do have civilian jobs, but...
Nobody else can... We were talking about it earlier, John. Nobody else can make the military. So you might as well try. Everybody's too fat.
Maybe Jason
Americans are fat. They're fat fucks who can't join the military or anything.
John, I was reading Ernest's autobiography, and he almost killed himself in the Navy basic training because he couldn't pass one of the running tests.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he tried slitting his wrist, and it wouldn't work. So he faked a test in the pool and went out the other entrance and pretended he passed, and it worked.
Well, you know, we definitely are failing because, like, the Hitler youth, they used to dress them as stormtroopers. And they basically, you know, here's another thing. You know, they embraced eugenics, which is what we embrace in America. We're basically Nazi land. And they have
these kids. Eugenics means modifying your biological components.
Right, to get a better child. That's what, you know, all the new breeding, the genetic, you know, cloning and stuff. They used to have these cycling tours for the Fatherland. So these kids, these little Nazis, would ride their bicycles into France and other in England, and and they would map out everything that they saw, you know, like the electricity, the power grids, the police stations, all that stuff. And they'd report it back. They'd do sketches and drawings and is really quite amazing, actually. I mean, Hitler was genius about this stuff when you think about it.
I was wondering if Don has ever made love to a chubby woman.
Not really. I mean,
how about a blonde woman?
No.
Blonde hair, blue eyes. Have you ever done that?
Who, me?
Yeah.
A whole bunch of times. He
was a gigolo, John.
Before
he got married.
He invaded the Third Reich?
Yeah, but, I mean, you know,
didn't you get kicked out of a white family's house in Milwaukee because you were messing with their daughter?
A couple of them. One of them was the man, the father, and one was the mother.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, also, too, what he wanted to do, I mean, this guy thought of everything. Like, first of all, he wanted to transport everything by rail. So he pumped up the rail system. 70% went by rail. And then they realized it was cheaper to send the Jews by rail to the death camp. And then he wanted to, he would destroy the history of every country they came into. You know, it's like if they went to Czechoslovakia or wherever, they would like just wipe out all their history, their art. They'd steal the art, take it back, and make it, you know, Nazification. And he wanted to create Germania, as a whole, this great big super city country. And he wanted, like, you know how they have the Colosseum and it's like fits 100,000 people. He visited Mussolini, and he was so impressed with their classical art because he's an artist. And he really was, Hitler was a really good artist. You know, you look at the whole layout of the way they made things, it was just really actually majestic. And so, but he wanted to build a town, like a capital in Berlin, and he wanted to have the building fit 180,000 people, like twice the size of the Colosseum. And it would be taller than the Eiffel Tower. It would have its own weather climate inside because it's so big. And that's what they were working on. And it's just very, you know, interesting how he had plans for all this stuff. You know, it's amazing.
And to show you how
okay, you guys, we've been on the air 90 minutes. I'm going to the bathroom, and when I come back, we're doing our conclusion.
Show you how stupid white men are. They actually went to battle in the middle of winter, you know, 1,000 miles away from home. Hi, that's stupid as fuck.
Yeah, they kind of lost it.
Russia was in several winter wars with Finland and both world wars.
If he just went south to Africa and left Russia alone, he would have been great.
Yeah, exactly. He wouldn't have to worry about freezing every one of his men to death, just like Putin is doing right now. He's half of his men are dying because they're freezing to death.
And
he wanted to take over South America. And that's what they were working on, you know, getting Nazis down to South America. And then, of course, take over Africa. And you could imagine, I mean, you guys would be total slaves. So he'd have plenty of slave labor. It would have been great for him.
Russia lost 20 million people. In World War II.
And imagine how much we would have learned from being their kind of slave. We would have learned a lot.
But just imagine if all the girls started getting jungle fever.
We would have taken them over.
Did you guys know Russia lost to Finland twice? And Finland beat them on cross-country skis. They set traps in the woods.
Because those Caucasians are stupid as fuck.
Well, how about the civil war in Rwanda? Was that brainy? Where each black side killed thousands of others?
Oh, of course not. Because they were just playing. They were just playing around.
And in Africa, in Liberia, other blacks turned their brothers and sisters over to the white slave traders.
Yep. Or they would have got killed. They were forced.
Oh, wow.
And,
you know
and,
that.
And usually
on,
men who are
corrupt
are driven by greed. It doesn't matter the color of their skin.
The black man doesn't have anything to be greedy for when he lives in Africa. He's got all the wool and all the oils and everything that he
has. The African told me himself from Sierra Leone that we were taught how to be greedy by Europeans.
Exactly. This is not something that is a new thing. This is a doggone thing that all white men are rich, are have money because of blacks, either slavery or oppressing the Africans like the French and the Chinese now, and the Belgians and the people from the Netherlands. They're all pieces of shit when it comes down to treatment of other people, and they've done it for centuries. And
then why are we friends?
Who, me and you?
He's got a 100-year plan.
Yeah.
Because
we normally don't
treat
each other bad.
No, because, I mean, there are some people who have more morals. And it's very, very few and far between. Because with black people, with people of color especially, but black people, it's liberals are just as bad as conservatives. You know, I mean, it's just as bad when you're talking about, they can pull themselves up by their bootstrings. You can't pull yourself up by your bootstrings if you've got a gun to your head every second of the day, which is what the black man does. He has a gun to his head. Somebody wants to kill him. Somebody wants to kill me, John, all the time.
Well, here's a question.
No matter how nice I am.
Let's say you're building a country, right? And you have to build, like a rocket or a weapon or some innovation, to get ahead of other countries. Are you going to get an Asian scientist, a Jewish scientist, or a black scientist based on what's out there? I mean, do you think you'd kind of go with the Asian guy maybe? I mean, it's
no,
like a basketball
team.
No, that is kind of racist. I do know a few
black
scientists.
Because it's the black guy. The black guy does not want to endanger you. He doesn't want to put too much on the ship that will make it blow up. He doesn't want to experiment so much that the man won't be able to get up and then come back on the mission.
The Asian is going to want to
put every experiment there is on that rocket, and if one backfires, it's blown up.
But now here's an interesting point.
Shit.
Now, see, Jane said the thought was probably racist, which it technically it is because I was talking about races. But just my statement that, do you pick an Asian, a Jew, or black? And she was saying that could be racist. Okay.
I didn't say it was racist. I'm just saying that there's a lot of people we don't know who they're good at their profession.
Well, I'm saying we're programmed that when someone says racist, that's bad. It's just saying it's a racist statement could be good or bad. So here's the point. What I'm saying is, okay, let's shift the playing field. I go, okay, I'm putting together a pro basketball team tomorrow. And I like the league says the next franchise John Yoder gets, and he gets the first two or three picks in the NBA draft because we want him to do well. So here's the question. And I'm not talking any bias, just are you going to pick a black athlete or a Mexican athlete or an Asian athlete of your three picks? Who are you going to go with? Now, if you say anything but black, I'd have to say you're really pretty ignorant, or you've got one in a million athlete that came out of some other country. I mean, odds are 90% you're going to say, oh, but I need black guys. And you go, that's racist. Now I go to the arena of scientist or lawyer or doctor, and I go, Asian. And you go, that's racist. Or we're conditioned to think that. But isn't it racist to go, oh, football player, linebacker, running back, black guy, starting quarterback, probably white guy, a couple exceptions. So is that racist or is that reality?
It's racist because it's racist like a motherfucker because there are people. I mean, look at Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey, he might as well be a black man because he's one of the baddest running backs in the history of the NFL. But and he's coming out right now. So,
you're talking about Justin Jefferson?
Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey with the San Francisco 49ers. That boy is a bad man. And if I was to have a first pick on a football team, I would pick McCaffrey probably over anybody, period.
You might, but here again, we were talking running back. Okay, how about let's go with who should we pick? James Brown? Should we pick who's the all-time running back who retired, but then he didn't want to break James Brown's record? The guy for Detroit.
Jim Brown. You're talking about Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders, you know, Dorsey. You go down the list. How about Jerry Rice at receiver? He's got over 200 touchdowns. Who's closest to him? Like, everyone has like 100 touchdowns, right? I'm just saying, if you go by number, who's the top? Let's go to the top 10 basketball players. Let's see, we got Kareem. We got LeBron, Michael Jordan. We got Kobe. We got Bill Russell. We got Wilt Chamberlain. You're talking about white or Asian basketball players? I mean, Yao Ming played a couple of years. He was dominant, but he never won the ring, and he got hurt because he couldn't. You know, his Chinese body just couldn't handle jumping. He couldn't jump. He kept having broken feet. No, there's Djokovic or whatever is not Djokovic. You know, the Joker.
Joker,
he won the ring last year.
Right. He's going to win it again this year.
Well, the revolution begins, I guess.
Well, I mean, it's not a revolution.
But the Jack,
it's change. It's change. You don't understand, John. What's the only thing that stays the same?
Just everything changes.
Change is the only thing that stays the same. If people sit down and say and complain like you motherfuckers are doing, especially you, John, everything is a complaint. It's like
a complaint.
If you believe in God, you ain't worried about that shit. But the bottom line,
that's not complaining. That's just preparing you for what's gonna. If I tell you that tomorrow the odds are that you're gonna die in the next 10 years, is that complaining? Is that just okay? Are you prepared? Are you ready? You know,
I'm 68 years old. I know that in the next 10 years I could be gone. But it's not about preparation. It's about enjoying yourself while you're here on Earth. You want to have happy a life. You want to have joy, like Hitler was saying. You want joy. And people have joy in many different ways. If they have to be enslaved and socialized and under communism, then and if they like it, then that's joy. You know, it's joy when you got Israelis who are still in Israel, period, much less living there while Hamas and Al-Qaeda oh, my God, every other Burger King, group, Iran, is wants to kill 5 million people. They want to kill 5 million people. What the fuck
right.
for? Why do you want to kill five million motherfuckers?
And I'm telling people we're brothers and sisters. Let's love each other. Let's forgive. I'm going out and playing.
So why
those guys might have given it up.
Why isn't it happening? Why do people rip us off? Why do people steal from the people in Burger King and Niger and stuff like that? Why are they ripping them off? Why are the Chinese coming over there and trying to rip every mineral they can find off? Because they're pigs. They're not loving. They're not trying to be peaceful. They're people who are disgusting. and they need to have their penance, and that's what this is all about. The reason
well, it sounds
your,
like you're
your
complaining,
earth is dying.
Doesn't
the reason
it sound
your
like
earth
you're
is dying and you're going to see the apocalypse is because your people suck.
I'm telling you, though, everyone sucks. I'm saying let's love each other. You're saying let's, you know, kill them all. It's like it sounds like you're complaining. I'm saying, hey, we're all brothers and sisters. Like,
I'm
let's
not,
love each other.
I'm not complaining. I've got the best of every world.
It
I can do
like
whatever
it.
I can do whatever I want to do right now. I'm privileged. Yes, I admit I'm privileged, but I help people back out. I help people. I used to coach kids. I've done things where I make sure that the news is disseminated, that I make sure that people who are homeless or that, you know, having problems from prison are helped out. You know,
hey,
these
I'm
are things
that,
that I do.
I've given
and
out two different blenders to homeless people. I get, go up to them and it's like, oh, will a blender help? I say, yeah, because they can make the stuff.
But John,
I get to my thing. I say, it's
John,
all you got to do is
John.
Use it or give it to someone who needs it. That's all I ask.
But you're missing it. I mean, I just do that just because it happened to have been there. Homeless people don't want any help. They don't want us to help them. They want to be homeless.
Well,
they want the freedom.
What I'm saying is like I was walking after I played at the Glendale
Shopping Center.
Where are they going to
get electricity for a fucking blender?
Well, it's recharged. The people I give it to, they have like they're living in the car on the street, and they have some kind of resource. But like this lady I finished performing at about a month ago at Glendale. She's in the alleyway. She's dressed nice, but I can tell she's homeless. She's got a little walker, so she can't walk around, and she needed someone to untie her shoes because her feet were swollen, and as I was untying them, they were wet with urine. Like, oh, great, she can't get up, so she's peeing her pants. And she needed a blanket. It's like winter started. I went in there and bought her a blanket. About 2 weeks ago, I'm a magnet to this stuff. I'm walking around Target again. This gal walks up to me, African-American, says, will you buy me a blanket? And I said, yeah. So I went out and we picked out a blanket. She wanted a really big one. And I said, you know, you have to carry this around. You need something you can roll up and carry with you. So let's get a medium size. And then let's get dark color because if it looks dirty, people are going to say, oh, you're just, you know, homeless and dirty. So we got a dark color and I bought it. And it's like, boom, easy breezy. So, you know, we all do our stuff. But, you know, I think you're doing a good thing. But a lot of people aren't. You know, they're just wicked people. I don't think it's going to change. It's always been. I think we can only shine our light where we can until Jesus comes, the white Jesus, the Jewish the tan Jesus. Or he could be black or green. He could be green. I think we lost Jane, though.
You guys, I have to go. I have to teach
go.
At
okay.
8. But
well,
I'm glad you guys made the show. You know, it started out kind of lame-o, and now it was good. So, John will be in Sacramento next week, and maybe you guys could drive and meet him.
Well, he's a busy guy. You know, he may be busy procreating when I'm out there, but, yeah.
Okay, well, good night, you guys. Thanks for your support. Okay?
See you, Jay.
Bye,
see
bye.
Don. God bless
Don.
You.
Don!
He's busy having sex right now.
Wake up and smell the coffee. Okay, I'll talk to you soon, John. Take care.
Yeah, No, I'm just going to be glad that you liked the show because I was a little
Well, it started out bad because I sang a Christian song, then I had to interrupt the show twice to play music because neither of you guys called in. Don, did you hear us say that John will be in Sacramento on the 21st or 22nd?
Yeah, I heard that, and I'll see what's going on because right now that's birthday time. My granddaughter's is the 20th, and my daughter's is the 23rd. So
how old?
I'm just letting you know, and I'll text John's number, and vice versa.
Okay.
How old are they?
His daughter is like 25 or 30.
What?
Would
they
be like
31, 37, 39, 46 are my kids' ages.
Oh, wow. Well, do you think they'd be willing to have one of my babies?
One of them might.
Jesus, John.
For money.
Or something else.
For money.
Okay. I got a little.
Two of my kids are in six figures and one's in seven figures. So they don't need
I want a baby with John in a hydrogenic chamber.
Well, I mean, it was almost natural. But bottom line is that anything's possible for money. You know that, John.
Don't be charging him.
What the hell?
Cardi B. I saw Cardi B on Ellen. She's totally ghetto. She's going to charge Ellen. Yeah, she's ghetto. Ellen was joking with her that I want my name to be Cardi E. And then Cardi B told Ellen that she had to pay a certain deposit to get that rap name. I think it was $2,000. And Ellen said, I still want to do it. And then Cardi B goes, can you pay me directly? I don't know.
Yep.
I just think I don't really like her as a person. She's just ghetto.
She's very ghetto. But you know what? She gives people
what started out as a stripper.
Right. She gives people what they want. And, you know, again, you folks don't understand. There's a dark side and a light side, as you might want to call it. You make money on both. You can make money on both. And all these white businessmen, they need to be put in jail because all of them are breaking the law. That's why we have so many lawyers. These people are crooks. They're thieves.
Cardi B, they showed a video of her bouncing up and down with her butt on the Ellen show, and she said she's pregnant on the interview. She said, that's how I made a baby. And then there was another video of her bouncing up and down like in a frog position with her stomach to the sky and her butt to the floor. And I don't know. They just kept joking about tacky stuff.
It's not tacky because of sex. Again, black ladies having babies. What the fuck is wrong with that? And a whole bunch of them.
You don't have to put
fork.
Shoddy video up showing, demonstrating your moves, Scott, you're pregnant.
You could be making money doing that, James. You put a podcast on showing your booty going up and down.
I was going to charge by the pound.
There you go.
Who was doing that video?
So you'd be making how much? About $400 or $500?
It was Cardi B in an Ellen interview a year ago. She was pregnant, and she's acting like she's hungry for money still when she's not. And I just found her to be an unpleasant person as far as morals.
Well, it's Christmas Day because she's a ho-ho-ho.
Yep. She is. She'll tell you
straight
up.
I ain't
going to
compromise my values. The next man I marry is going to be a stalwart man of the church.
Oh, wow.
That should have happened 20 years ago. What the fuck is all these stalwart men at the church at?
Craig Hoffman was a chaplain in the Navy. I should have stuck with him.
He should have stuck with you. He should have stuck with you. That was not your
problem.
He was too
boring for you. He needed more, Jane.
He couldn't show his emotions. He grew up on a farm. His parents were humorless.
And there's your white man of church. There's your white man of the clock.
You know, he was an okay dude, but we lost the baby, and that made things bad.
She likes some flavor.
It shouldn't have made him bad enough where you didn't try again.
I wanted a baby, and he didn't because he said, Jane, we're in dark days.
Yeah, but there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. There's always
a terrible
light.
I slept with an Albanian dishwasher and the marriage went under.
Albanian dishwasher.
Did you try an albino?
Oh, and by the way, the Albanian dishwasher proposed to me. I turned him away.
Wow.
Okay, we're hanging up. Good night.
You didn't turn down the hot cocoa.
All right. Good night. Love
you all. Good night.
No matter what color you are, I love you.